but that we would delight in the wonder of who you are. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, H.G. Wells wrote a short story entitled The Country of the Blind. It's about a people that live in a small village in the Andes Mountains. And there's this rock slide that closes off the pass so that the village is now isolated from the outside world. And yet the people are content to continue living there in their valley. They don't need the outside world, it seems. But over time, a sickness comes into the land that causes all of the newborn babies to be born blind. As time goes on, everyone who has the ability to see in the village dies. As the generations pass, even the idea, the concept of sight, fades from memory. Well, as the story goes, at the 14th generation, there was a rock climber, a mountain climber. He's trying to make it to the peak of the mountain, and he has this catastrophic fall. He falls over 1,000 feet, and yet he survives. And where does he fall? He falls into the valley of the country of the blind, this forgotten people. And as he makes his way down towards the village, he sees some people walking towards him, and he starts to wave at them to get their attention, and they don't see him. Of course, they're all blind. As he comes closer, he talks with them, and they begin to interact, and they say, okay, we're going to lead you into the village. And so they take his hand. He says, oh, you don't have to do that. I can see. And they stop. They don't know that word. See? You see, the very idea of sight is outside of reality for them. Well, as he comes into the village and interacts and lives among the people, he keeps telling them about his ability to see. He tells them of colors and sunsets, of the sky above, the sun, the moon, the stars, the high mountains, the birds that soar. And the people think it's ridiculous. It's crazy. They know that this is not real. They take him to be a fool. So he lives among these people as the most humble in their midst. Over time, he recognizes that these people, their entire life has been lived in darkness, but they don't actually recognize they're in the dark. They don't know there are things to be seen. He eventually falls in love with the most beautiful woman in the village. Of course, no one could see her beauty except this man. As he goes to the father to seek to marry this woman, the father refuses. He will not have his daughter marrying the town fool. But over time, the pleading of his own daughter, the man says, okay, I'll consent to the marriage if and only if you'll allow us to gouge out your eyes so that you can be freed from the sickness of sight. Well, I'll leave you to find the story and find out how the story ends. But I tell the story, I draw your attention to it for this reason. It illustrates a spiritual reality. A reality that Jesus is speaking into. In John chapter 8, let me invite you to turn to John chapter 8. Jesus is speaking into a dark world, a world filled with darkness that doesn't actually recognize it's in the dark. And he comes as light. This morning, we're going to focus on Jesus' profound words in John chapter 8, verse 12. Just verse 12. Listen now as I read the word of the Lord, God's holy, perfect, and errant, and infallible word. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So in those few words, Jesus has given us so much. It seems that every word there is just dripping with meaning. So this morning, I just want us to ring it for all it's worth. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want us to consider this morning what Jesus is claiming and the implications that flow from that claim. Jesus is claiming that he's the light in a world of darkness. And the implication that flows from that is massive. There are those who walk in darkness, and there are those who have the light of life. And that's it. There's only these two categories of people, those in darkness and those in light. So let's begin by starting with this initial claim. Jesus says he's the light of the world. This is an extremely bold claim. He doesn't say that he's a light, but that he's the light. He's not the light of Jerusalem, where he's making this statement. He's not saying he's the light of, of the Jewish people, Jesus says he's the light of the whole wide world, the whole thing. He is the singular light. Jesus is here contrasting light with darkness, right? He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks in, or whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So we have these extremes, light versus darkness. Now the whole world is familiar with that contrast, right? All throughout the world, people experience night and day, light and dark. And light and darkness are used metaphorically often, right? So in little children's stories, right? The bad guy always wears black. Or think of Star Wars, you have the dark side. There's this association of light with that which is good and darkness with that which is evil. Well, the Bible even uses the same symbolism. So in Ephesians 5, verse 11, we read this. Take no part in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but expose them. So there, that which is evil and wicked, that which is shameful, is described as a deed of darkness. There's another way that light and darkness gets used metaphorically. It's to describe knowledge or the lack of knowledge, of ignorance. So if someone doesn't know what's going on, if they're without knowledge, we say they're in the dark. But if they come to know something, if they learn it, then we say they've been enlightened. So this is just common, normal usage. Well, again, the Bible uses this metaphorical term as well. So listen how Isaiah 9, verse 2 speaks to the people. It says this, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. So here you have these people who don't know what's going on, and now they're being enlightened. Now they see things. I want us to think about this rich symbol throughout the scripture. So what was the first thing that God created? Light. You go to the book of Exodus, as the people are being led through their journey, how does God do it? With a pillar of fire. So here's Exodus 13, verse 21. The Lord went before them by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So God is lighting the path for the people of God. The psalmist taught in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? If I've got the light, I can say I don't need to be afraid of the dark, for the Lord is my light. Paul tells us that God dwells in unapproachable light. In the book of Daniel, we're told that light dwells with God. Or in 1 John 1, 5, we read these famous words. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Let that sink in for a minute. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. This is a way of saying that God is pure and righteous. There's nothing dark, nothing wrong in him. It also speaks to his knowledge. He sees it all. He knows everything. Nothing can be hidden in the dark from God, for he is light. God himself would be his people's light. We see that at the end of the story. When you get to Revelation, God is the light. But we see it in the Old Testament as well. God is a light for his people. So in Isaiah 60, we read, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Your God will be your glory, and the Lord will be your everlasting light. Or perhaps you have this one memorized. Psalm 119, verse 105. Many of us learned it as a child. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So here in the scripture, we've got God described as the light. We have his word described as the light. And his Messiah, we're told, is to be a light to the nations. So in Isaiah 49, verse 6, we read this. My servant, I will make you a light for the nations, that salvation may reach the ends of the earth. So the Messiah, he's a light, and he's not just a light for a small people. He's a light for all the peoples, so that salvation can spread to the ends of the earth. When we finally get to John's gospel, to the introduction that we read together, we read these words. This is John 1, verse 4. In him, as in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When we finally get to John chapter 8, Jesus just says it himself. I am the light of the world. Now, the setting of his statement is also significant. Jesus says this on the last and final day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So we've been looking at this for the last couple weeks. Tabernacles was this celebration. By the way, it's the next one in the series through the holy days in the fall. So it would have been like the very beginning of October. It's right after the Day of Atonement. So the people, they gather to Jerusalem and they're camping. They all come, they live in booths. And this is remembering how God dwelt with the people in the tabernacle there as they wandered through the wilderness. So it looked back to God dwelling with the people, and we acknowledged that Jesus tabernacled among us. He dwelt with us. We also looked last week at how he provided water out of a rock, and we saw that it's from Jesus that flows rivers of living water. Earlier this day, the last day of the feast, Jesus had stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." And now, in the evening, Jesus has yet another statement to make. You see, there's one other big celebration that's part of the Festival of Tabernacles. You see, on the last night, kind of the grand finale of the festival, was what they called the illumination of the temple. In the courtyard of the temple, they would have these massive menorahs. You know a menorah? It's like that thing you see at Hanukkah, you know, it's the multi-branches. So they had several of these, one in each of the corners of the temple. And they were not little. They were 75 feet tall. In the ancient world, I mean, that is unthinkable. I mean, 75 feet tall, these huge lamps. And on the last night, they would light them all. It's said that not only did the light fill up the temple, but all of Jerusalem, in fact, everyone who was camping around, who had come for the feast, they all could see the light on that last night. They were celebrating, again, how God had led them to this pillar of fire. God was their guide. In that context, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Do you see how bold this claim is? The people, they had followed God in the wilderness. And here they're celebrating. They had followed God, the light. And Jesus says, "I'm the light. Follow me." You see, everything in this festival was about Jesus. It was all pointing to him. And he was explaining it to the people. He was showing that what they were celebrating was the coming Messiah. And Jesus was saying, the day of light has arrived. It is here. Jesus, the very source of eternal life, was standing in their midst. Jesus, as the light, is the means by which we see everything. He's the one that shows us the right way to go. So as we trust him, he enables us to see the world the way that it really is. You see, we're in darkness and we don't understand what's really there. And yet Jesus shows us the light. He shows us what's really going on around us. Jesus turns the lights on for us. You see, when Jesus claims that he's the light of the world, we have to recognize the opposite aspect. Jesus is saying that everyone else is in darkness. Now that's extremely offensive. Right? People don't want to be told they're in the dark. And yet Jesus is saying everyone is in the dark. It's only if you follow me that you have the light. It's only those who have the very word of God, who have been instructed on who God is, who see things rightly. You see, as long as we don't have a proper understanding of God, we don't have a proper understanding of anything. We have a distorted view of reality until we see God for who he is. Here they were, joyfully living in booths, pouring out water, lighting lamps, and yet if they were ignoring Jesus, they had nothing to celebrate. Nothing at all. Yes, they had light in their temple, but their hearts, there was spiritual darkness. In spite of their festivities, the priest and the people, they were spiritually dead, and this festival could never give them life. But Jesus, he came and he offered life, life eternal to those who would trust in him, those who would follow him. Now, when Jesus says he's the light of the world, does that mean that light goes to everyone? You see, Jesus is the light of the world in the same way that he's the savior of the world. Not everyone is saved, but he is the only savior. He is the light of the world, but there are those who hide from the light. They cringe in the darkness. They don't want the light. So a little earlier in John, chapter 3, verse 19, we read this. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their works should be exposed. So yes, Jesus is the light, but there are many who hide from the light. They don't want their sin to be exposed. They're doing that which is shameful, and they don't want people to know about it. This is why thieves break in at night, right? People think they can get away with evil under the cover of darkness. Jesus is saying that you need to turn from that darkness and come into the light. He is our only hope. When he says, "I am the light of the world," it's a clear claim to deity. He's saying that he's God. He is the light that they are to follow. He's saying that he is righteousness and understanding. He's saying that he is their only hope. This is yet another one of the I am statements in John's gospel, where Jesus uses that unique phrase, I am, which really is I am, I am. It's repeated there in the original language. And you can translate it, I am who I am. This is the name of Yahweh from the Old Testament. Jesus stands up and says, I am the light of the world. You see, he's claiming that he is their God. He is the God who delivered them. He's the God who brought them out of Egypt. Yet some, they don't want this light. Jesus has clearly told us who he is, and he's calling us to respond to him by following him. So we know who Jesus is. He's the light of the world. But there's two implications that flow from that truth. Implication number one, to reject Jesus the light is to walk in darkness. To reject the light, to reject Jesus the light is to walk in darkness. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But if you refuse to follow him, if you reject him, if you say, I don't want anything to do with him, you continue in darkness. You see, all of mankind is born in darkness. Because of our sin, we continue walking in darkness. Now, think with me for a moment about what it's like to walk in the dark. Maybe you've woke up in the middle of the night, you need to use the restroom. You thought, oh, I'll be fine. The path is clear. And you walk, and what happens? You trip over something, you hit something, you stub your toe, you step on a little Lego if you have little kids and it pierces your foot, right? It's no fun trying to walk in the dark because that path that we thought was clear, it has that obstacle that somehow we've forgotten about. And there, without light, without seeing, we end up in trouble. You see, that's what darkness does. To walk in darkness leads to pain, great pain. The Bible teaches that our deeds of darkness, they deserve greater darkness. One of the ways that Jesus described hell was as outer darkness. So here we are walking in the darkness, and we keep stubbing our toes, and we keep having the different consequences of sin. But eventually, we reach the drop-off, and we fall into outer darkness. You see, your sin is leading you to hell. You don't want to stay in the dark. You need the light. And beloved, there is light available for you. You see, as offensive as these words sound, it's really good news because you don't have to stay in the dark. You need to know you're in the dark so that you can come out of it. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Okay, there's a lot there. Here's what he's saying. In the original creation, God said, let there be light. And in the new creation, he says, let there be light in you. Right? This is talking about conversion. Now the lights come on. Now we can see things as they really are. When Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, that is an invitation. There's hope for those who are in darkness. You can come and you can have the light of life. Now you have to recognize, if you come to the light, it will expose your sin. And that's always painful, right? Having your sin exposed hurts. And yet, it's a blessing. It's a gift. It's like an early diagnosis of cancer. Right? You find out there's a problem, but you find out soon enough that we can treat it. We can cut that out. There is sin in your life, and when it's exposed, you can put it to death. You can come to the light. In our physical world, the sun is the light of the world, right? If you don't have sunlight, everything dies. Everything on the planet is dependent upon the sun. Well, in the spiritual kingdom, Jesus is the light of the world. And if you don't have Jesus, you do not have spiritual life. You need Jesus. He is your only hope. That's what he's telling these people. But Jesus, the Son of God, he only shines his grace on those who trust and obey, those who turn away from their sin and take hold of Jesus. Here's the second implication that flows from this text. To follow Jesus is to have the light of life. So we looked at rejection. Now following. If you follow Jesus, you have the light of life. Now those in darkness, they die in their sin. But those in the light, they live forever with God. Oh, that's good news. Jesus is saying to follow him is to have him. He is the light of life. He is the light that gives life. And if you follow him, you have him. And if you have him, his light actually shines through you. This is interesting. You see, we who follow Jesus, we are made lights. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Jesus says these famous words. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, they put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So you see what he's saying here? You are a light. You are the light of the world and you need to let that light shine. Now, why is that the case? Well, it's because if we have him, the light of life, his light shines through us. We reflect his light. Kind of like the moon reflects the light of the sun, we reflect the light of the Son of God. We are made lights, but the light doesn't come from us. The source of that light is God himself. Now, we know that that's what Jesus means because in chapter 9, Jesus says these words. John 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's interesting. Jesus says he's the light of the world, but only as long as he's in the world. You see, his light is temporary, we're told. So Jesus' light came in the world to make you light. It reminds me of sparklers. You know, 4th of July, those little sticks, and kids got them, and they're dancing around and having a great time. Those sparklers, they're just sticks in a box. They have no light of themselves until they are lit, right? A light comes to them, and all of a sudden they burst into flame, right? And they are sparkling, and they're illuminating everything that's around them, but they only do so for a short time. Brothers and sisters, we are like those sparklers. We have a short time on this earth to let the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine and shine brightly. James tells us that our life is a vapor. Oh, we need to use our time well. Use it for the glory of God. Listen to how Paul speaks of Christians in Ephesians 5, verse 8. Dwell on these words. He says, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's the testimony of every Christian, every follower of Jesus. They once were in darkness, now they are light in the Lord, and now we are to walk as children of the light. So the scripture teaches that unbelievers, they are lost in the darkness. But 1 Peter 2 tells us that believers have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We have been transformed. We have been changed into those who are light. In Colossians, Paul says that he's rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And he's made us saints in light. Jesus says more in chapter 12, so let's look there for a moment. 12, verse 35. Jesus said, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. So yes, Jesus is the light of the world, but he makes us light to those who are around us, us who believe. Those who believe become people of light. Look at verse 46 now, chapter 12, verse 46. Jesus says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. See, the world, they start in darkness. This is where we are. We're sinners, dead in a dark world. But you don't have to stay there. You don't have to remain in the dark. If you believe in Jesus, if you turn from your sin and you trust in him, you can be a child, a person of the light for the rest of your days. This is glorious. This is good news. You see, the gospel transforms us from people of darkness and makes us people of the light. When Jesus says, believe me, he means to trust him, to rely upon him. In fact, I think that's what he means back when he says, follow me. All throughout John's gospel, there's all these different ways of describing a life that's committed to Jesus. He says, come to me. He says, drink. He says, eat. He says, receive. He says, follow me. These are all ways of describing a life of faith, a life of trust in Jesus. Christians, we have been made lights when we put our confidence, our trust in Jesus. And how do we respond? Well, we respond by letting our light shine. Now, sadly, we don't always do that, do we? Right? I mean, raise your hand if every day, every moment, you are a perfect shining light of the gospel. Interesting, no one has their hands up. Right? We recognize we need to grow in this area. I want you to think with me about the main reasons why we don't let our light shine, why we cover our light with a basket, with a blanket. I mean, the big one is sin, right? We just want to do what we want to do, and sometimes what we want to do is wrong. And so we just willfully step into sin. Other times we've convinced ourselves that this activity actually isn't sin. We get the whole category of compromise. Oh yeah, this is fine, this isn't a big deal. And then we're talking with someone, they say, wait a minute, but aren't you a Christian? Well, then how is it that you... And we've so deceived ourselves at that point. We're like, oh yeah, this is fine. But no, we're walking in darkness. Sometimes we don't let our light shine out of just laziness, sloth. We don't feel like it. I don't want to do it, Lord. That takes effort. I'd rather just sit and watch the game. Oh, that we would be shining lights. Sometimes we don't let our light shine simply because we're afraid. Afraid of what's going to happen. Afraid of how people will respond to us. But brothers and sisters, when light comes into a darkened world, it only does good. It doesn't always feel good at the moment. Again, we're exposing people's sin. They may not like it. But when we bring light, we're doing good. We have become people of light. We've been transformed into shining lights. Oh, we must let our light shine. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have the light of life. But I have one last question. How is it that the light of the world can give you the light of life? How is it that he can give you life? Well, the Bible's abundantly clear on this point. Jesus can give us life because he gave up his life. Because he was willing to die, we don't have to die. You see, this is the good news of the gospel. Jesus came and he lived a perfect life, only light. There was no darkness in him. Everything he did was a shining example of how we ought to live. He obeyed perfectly, but then he chose to die in the place of dark, sinful people like us. Jesus took the punishment that we deserved and then rose from the dead, showing that he paid it all, so that anyone who follows him, who turns from their sin and trusts him, can have life. Do you remember what happened when Jesus was letting his blood be shed upon the cross? The Bible tells us that darkness covered the land, that the sun failed to shine. Jesus, they're dying upon the cross, and darkness comes upon the land. Catch this. During the crucifixion, the light of the world was extinguished. Jesus entered into outer darkness for us. But he didn't stay there, right? Jesus, he satisfied the wrath of God. He absorbed the just penalty that our sins deserve. And then he rose victoriously. You see, on resurrection morning, the rising Son of God, he pushed back the shadows of sin and death once and for all. You see, ultimately, the light of the world could not be extinguished. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. The darkness could not overcome it. Instead of being snuffed out, the light spread out in our lives. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is extending throughout the world. And everywhere it goes, it is pushing back the darkness. It is driving it away. Praise God. Today, the light of the gospel is still shining to the darkest corners of the globe. If you've never put your hope in Jesus, if you've never come to the light, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Turn from your sin. Come out of the dark. Come to the one who can make you clean. Come and be forgiven. And if you are a Christian, oh, what a joy, what a privilege you have. You have been given his light. You have been made children of light. We are to let that light shine. We let it shine in the world through our words and through our deeds. Once you were darkness, but if you're in Christ, now you are light. So walk as people of the light. Let's pray. Lord, your word illumines our hearts. You have shown that there is sin that dwells within us, that we are by nature sinners, and yet in Christ, our sin is covered, our sin is atoned for, our sin is done away with. You forgive because Jesus took our penalty. Oh Lord, how we rejoice in the light of the world. And Lord, we rejoice in the privilege, the honor that we have been given to let his light shine forth in our lives. Help us, Lord. Help us to joyfully let the light of the gospel shine. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. We are going to